So last class we were discussing, if you remember, the idea of what's more important, to make Shabbos or break Shabbos. That's what we're saying. To make it or break it, right? Can you break it to make it, right? And if you need to make it, can you break it, and vice versa. And we came out with a very clear decision on this, if you remember, that let's say you're in a situation where there's a possibility you may come to break Shabbos, but without that you can't make Shabbos. We said you can not do it. Remember that? An example, the Mishnah, is let's say you have wicks or candles or lights that aren't so good. And there is a possibility that you will come to mess with a candle, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbat. You can't touch the candle or wicks, right? You can't add oil. You can't play with wicks. It's called Havara, right? One of the Malachot on Shabbat. So we said the possibility of that happening with some of the wicks or some of the oils that don't light well, Chachamim say don't light. But what are you talking about? You have to light. It's a Torah obligation. Lighting the candles, big, big mitzvah. And the answer was, don't risk breaking it in order to make it. So we said, well, one second. Isn't that a situation where a person sits at home, miserable, in the dark, or they forgot to put up their cholent? You know, even the comfort aspect, the oneg aspect of Shabbat, which I'm sure cholent falls under, yeah? Isn't that also a threat? And we say, I hear. But shamor, which we said is the word that signifies the negative aspects, the losa says, definitely, far, far exceeds the zachor. Right? That is traditional Judaism. We say there are other elements within the Jewish world that disagree with that. Right? We do not hold by that in any way, shape, or form. We are adamant that Shabbat must be kept. Then we said, you know what? Actually, there's something positive that comes out of that. It's not just sitting in the dark with few candles. We said that even the process of finding yourself in a situation which happens, let me just tell you one piece of advice. It came to my head, I must tell you. Let's say traveling for Shabbat. Let me give you the thumb rule given to me by my Rosh Hashiva when it comes to traveling for Shabbat. Figure out how long it's going to take you. I told you that three times. I mentioned that before. Went another class. Yeah. Three times that amount. If it's a 3-hour journey, give yourself 9 hours. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a day journey, give yourself 3 days. My Rosh Hashiva was very adamant. This last minute thing, and you hear horror stories of people stuck in terrifying places. Sometimes it's totally beyond your control. Right? It's complete. But if it's because of negligence, and you think you're going to get there just in time, and I've had some scary, hairy moments when it comes to, right, Erev Shabbat stuff, don't go there, where I've become, don't think about it, for 3 times out of time. So let's say in a situation, however, where you're stuck, you know, and you're not able to keep Shabbat the way you'd like to. Okay, and some stories end up in some art scroll book or in some Jewish magazine of a guy finds himself in the middle of nowhere on Shabbat, spends Shabbos with a family, ends up marrying his daughter off to the person over there, right, stuck in an airport, ends up having a minion somewhere. Okay, this stuff is very nice after the fact, right? But you don't plan to set yourself up in that situation. If you, however, if a person does find himself, so Chazal that we were looking at last time, let's go into a little bit more, that itself is a tremendous milah, is a great thing. That means keeping Shabbat in that not so nice situation, in that not so pleasant oneg situation, right, is still a different way to look at the pleasure of Shabbat. It may not be the ahava way, but it gets even higher. Let's have a look. Page 42, halfway down. V'zot mipnei she'oneg Shabbat meviet adam lakir et avato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does oneg do? When you're enjoying yourself, you feel close to Hashem. Right? You're feeling it. The Yisrael that God has towards the Jewish people. Shud barach mazmino el shulchanom aneg ka'avam and aged bonay akira. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is celebrating with you. Like a father with a child. Aval shmir Shabbat meviet adam lakarat na'alam zo. But shmira, so that was the schira. He's saying shmira, it may not feel like it, but it can bring you to a higher level. It can bring you to a higher level. Sheken, yesh lo adam Yisrael lerot et atzmo. A person sees themselves when they rest and don't do melach on Shabbat. K'misha midam el boro. When we said this, Tiffany, this was your point. You point out very nicely. You become like God. Because Hashem, we said, refrains from malacha. Where do we see that? When Hashem did not rain down the man for the Jewish people for 40 years in the desert, gave us a double portion on Friday, a lechem mishnah, so too we become like God. Lelecha b'derachav. And there's a special mitzvah to be like God. Ma hu yitbarach barata olam b'shesh yimei habereishis. And also Hashem didn't rest it on the seventh day as well. That's the real proof. Hashem rested on the seventh day and did not work. So too, we do the same thing. We also refrain from malacha. B'yom ha-shvi, kach gam adam nivre, shoved b'yom ha-shvi, mekom malachto. He says, and this is the bold print, I think we did this last class, v'zoi ba'atzma gadula ramamad nifla adma, oh, this is a very great thing. Don't put this down. Don't say, oh, this is terrible. Oh, you know, right? Okay, you're not going to be happy. I'll be honest with you. Right? But once you're in there and you refrain from the malacha, you might say, oh, great, I'm stuck on the road. Fantastic. Right? You're not supposed to be happy. You're like, oh no, this is terrible. But by doing it, you're doing a great thing. It itself is a very high level that a person reaches. They're able to refrain from malacha in those dire situations. Yote min hakara ba'avad, greater than knowing that Hashem loves us. Lefi shekan mesig adam hakara sheyesh b'kocho. A person should realize that doing this, they have in their power, let ma'ot b'laboris b'rofi yileh, to be like God. Right? Mamish, just like God acts. Okay? So that's the conclusion to what we started last time. Okay, he carries on in the same vein. I don't need to go into it. Right. And even so, even though we know that lighting candles, one of the main reasons we light candles is because of shalom bayit. Okay? Bring light into the house so you don't bump into each other. But also there's an element of shalom bayit that comes with it. So between husbands and wives and husbands and children, all the rest of it. Just like blessing kids we said as well. He's saying that even so, don't risk it. That means this is more important than shalom bayit. And we already said that shalom bayit is considered a big thing. So if we're willing to push shalom bayit, and the possibility you may come to play with the lights, it's obviously a very, very big thing. Okay? Your continuation. He just finishes it off, right? Right. He actually says, if you're aware of this, but on Friday night in shuls, those who go, we sing Kabbalah Shabbat. Okay? We sing L'chon Aranana, we sing L'chad Dodi, but right afterwards, we say Mishnayot called Bameh Madlikin. There's a custom many shuls have. They'll read Bameh Madlikin, which is basically the chapters that discuss the do's and don'ts when it comes to the lights of Shabbat. He says, no coincidence. Right? Those are the two aspects. So you can enjoy, but there's a Bameh Madlikin. You have to be careful. Be careful of the halachot. You can't just go, oh, it's Shabbos, let's go, have a good time. Right? There's things you can do and there's things you can't do. And those things you can't do, you've got to be very careful about. You've got to know, you've got to learn and understand. So he says, that's why we read this. They sit down for like 5 minutes, the entire shul, I can't think of any other time they do this, by the way, reading through, the entire shul reads Mishnayos. Well, maybe like bits of Pirkei Avot turn up here and there, you know? But we all sit down and read like a chapter. So he says that's the root of the reason why we read Bameh Madlikin. And people like, maybe people will shmooze. It's a very important thing to do. Many people schmooze in their time. You should actually try to read through it, even in the English, you know what's going on. And it adds a certain year, a certain fear that, hey, this I can do, this I can't do. It kind of brings in halachot of Shabbat into reality, into the service itself. And he says that's the reason for it. Okay? And then he says, now he speaks a little bit more spiritual manner. And he says that this aura of Shabbat, this very special light that comes in to the Shabbat, elevates a person, he says, and brings you from a low level up the ladder to the higher levels, okay? And really defines who you are. He says the definition of Shabbat is not a person who just keeps Shabbat by doing the stuff. He's seen the definition of Shabbat as a person who stays away and refrains from the malacha. That's what defines us. That's what defines Shabbat. Right? Shmir Shabbat. We could call it Shmir Shabbat. We don't call it Zchir Shabbat. That's interesting. I just thought of that. Right? You don't say, is that person a Zocha Shabbos? Right? You say, are they a Shomer Shabbos? Interesting that. Oh, I just thought of that. Oh, I feel good. I feel good. It can't be coincidence. Right? We're told to Zachor as Yom Shabbos. Right? But we say, is that person a Shomer Shabbos? Do they guard the Shabbat? It's almost in our speech we accept the fact that. Okay, so let's change track a little bit. So we're on page 44. there is an aspect. So we're discussing. We're trying. What's the main topic we're getting into over here? Let's just go back a little bit. We're trying to figure out why we stay away from malacha on Shabbat. So one answer we already gave is because staying away from malacha defines the person, defines Shabbat, and takes you to a very high level. Okay, even at the expense of zachor. Okay, there's another aspect, and that is by staying away from malacha, we get to get involved in spiritual things. You see, Shabbat is not meant to be just a day of rest. It is that as well. But it's also a chance to stop the malacha so that you can do non-malacha work, right? And maybe that means get involved in spiritual activities. And we're including that eating and drinking for a spiritual level and learning Torah. And that's the Ramban. Let's see the Ramban on page 44, halfway down. And he says, "Shatam l'shvi l'shabbat, why do we rest on Shabbat? K'dei sh'nuchal l'etbanot, so we can free ourselves mitardo shivu from all the stress week." There is an aspect of stopping, so we get to chill out. Ula aneg, and get oneg. And nafshasenu, our souls get a rest. Binyanim ruchnayim, right, in spiritual activities. Vezela shon, and this is what the Ramban says. Okay? So that was the introduction I put down. Let's have a look inside. Vatam shetehe shvita binyano. What is the idea of shvita? Why do we have to have shvita? Just have Shabbos. Remember, Hashem created the world, and let's just work, you know. And he says, ba'avor, shu yom kadosh, it's a holy day. Lifnot bo, in order to free ourselves, me'iske, from all the esek, from the work, ha'machshavot, all the thinking, our brain, we're going to talk about this thinking, by the way, in order to keep Shabbat, your mind must be free as well. That's much harder than freeing your body. Right? Your mind, as a hirurim meturim, we say, maturim, we've got to free our minds as well. It's not just the physical. If your mind is constantly thinking, work, you're missing Shabbos. To some level, you're missing out on the real Shabbos experience. Your mind must be free. That's what he's saying. Lafnot min bo me'eske ha'machshavot v'hevle azmanim, and all the hevel, all the stuff we get involved in during the rest of time. V'latet ba'oneg l'nafshenu b'darach Hashem, and to give us oneg in our souls, not just our bodies, not just resting our bodies. Our minds should be free. You can sit down all Shabbat, not do any malacha, and think work. Right? You're missing out. You're missing the whole point. This is a mind freedom as well. Okay? And he's calling that a oneg lenafshenu, the enjoyment of our souls.
Meditation.
Meditation, prayer, laughing, whatever you want. Enjoyment. Enjoyment. It could be for you. Could be. That's an aspect. That's an aspect as well. And he says, "V'lalechet," and this is what they used to do. "V'lalechet al hachachamim," go to the rabbis. "V'la neviim," to the prophets. Now we don't have prophets today, as I always like to say, we are not a prophet organization anymore, the Jewish people. However, that's what they used to do. They would go on Jewish holidays and Shabbat to the rabbis and the prophets, and they would talk to them, and they would glean spiritual worth. It's hard to be spiritual during the week. You're busy running around, you know. Well, your students here at Stern, right? It's always Shabbat. You have a life of Shabbat. But for the rest of us, right, it's a beautiful, it's hard work. You know, you're schlepping, you're working, you're paying, you're thinking about money and bills and kids and all those other things. So people used to go to the rabbis and go to a class and learn and talk to their rabbi, go to the Navi, right? Lishmo divrei Hashem, to hear the word of God. Kumo shenemar, this is actually a verse from Tanakh. Madu at olechet alav hayom, lo chadash v'lo Shabbos, right? I can't remember who it was, but we see in Tanakh, there's a comment, why are you going to the rabbi today? It's not Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh. And other than that, from that, the people used to go on Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh to the prophet, to the rabbi, to hear inspirational words, to free their souls of a work week. Right? This is the way it used to be. Sheyad darcham kain. This is the way. V'ken amru razal. The mekal, the b'chodesh v'shabbos, ba'le l'mezal. Right? This was the way they would go, and they would travel. The zetam shvitas habahema. That's how we also stop our work with our animals, or law, or doctoring, or whatever. So we shouldn't think about them. Right? Don't even think about them. You have to free your mind as well. We're going to do more on this mind freedom because it's actually going to be a rashi. We're going to spend a couple of classes on, right? That a person has to see themselves as though. There is no more work to be done. We're going to get to that. That's a very interesting aspect which most people are not aware of Shabbat. A person has to feel as though all of your work is done. has to appear in your mind there is no work. Not stop work. Not just stop work. It should appear as though there is no work. That's going to be a much higher level. But we are expected to achieve it. Okay? Says the Ramchal in Derech Hashem, turn over the page 45. Everyone's talking about Shabbos. And that's going to be my topic this Shabbos, by the way, when I speak here. Right, making Shabbos project your life project. Right, that's what we're trying to do over here. V'olam, as we'll see, that's a literal. Hinei ha'esek ba'olam. You should know that work in this world, kvar ba'ar lamala, he said, we've already spoke about, shum. This ties a person to physicality. Just being in this world and just traveling through life is pushing you to physicality. Okay, and it's bringing you down. And it lowers you from what you can and expect it to be. And for this reason, says the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lusato, in Derech Hashem, chapter 4, verse 7, a person has to take the Shabbat. You have to disconnect on Shabbat. The reason for Shabbat, says the Ramchal, is to disconnect, to cut yourself off, because you're constantly involved in chumriyot and physical work, and that's bringing you down. Kevan shemit alein yinomi mashu b'chol, right? Because this is what you're involved with constantly on Shabbat during the week. V'yeh machzik asmo be'erech harila malam ezot. Okay, and you have to conduct yourself in something that is right for your elevated soul. And during the week, it's very hard to do that. You know? Va'amnam, right? Therefore, linatek legamri, you have to completely disconnect. Legamri, totally disconnect. Mina gufniut, iskei va'asako evshar, right? And all this physical stuff. Shall kol panim ba'olam hazehu. Now, even though you're stuck in this world, this is a contradiction, but I'm in this world. Olam hazeh is work, and by definition, brings you down. So even though that's true, he says, and he acknowledges that, right? Because shurei gufniyot alav, and you constantly have this physical thing that's stuck to you. Aval, shachachma leona hadarga shurei lenatek min gufniyot. You still have the ability to, it's a darga, to disconnect from this. From a drega to sarach she shabbat. Right, able to reach a level where you disconnect from it. You get just a little, a seventh of your life is spent just disconnected. Right? And that's a level that a person has to reach. And that's the command, he says. The command is to disconnect. To disconnect. And he says that is the whole concept of not doing malacha on Shabbos. Nothing inherently wrong with malacha. You can do it during the week. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not to be done on Shabbat. Okay? So page 45 at the bottom. Not only that, but there's also this idea that you deserve a rest. One day of rest a week, of just completely resting and pulling back. Yep. He says, the Rishonim speak about it. Kedei she'nochal lanoach b'Shabbat. There's an element of Shabbat that is actual rest. Physical and mental. Okay, we're ready to develop, right? Miyagatenu hagufniut b'meshim atachol. And he quotes the Rabbeinu Bechaya, mitzvot haShabbat shelo latriach atabriyot ba'amal tadir b'chol yomim. We can't be constantly on it. Ela she'elahem yom nucha b'shvu. They have a day of rest. This is now talking about physical rest. She'nucha bo min ha'malachot ha'maturach b'gufit, which are constantly weighing us and making us work. Mizei yeh shviyit b'chayav shel adam b'nucha v'hasheket. That means the seventh of your life will be in a state of tranquility and silence. Ah, yes.
According to this, wouldn't it make more sense if, like, you cut out everything physical?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely, so, like, absolutely. So very, very good. So you're saying something very good, Tiffany. You're saying something very, very good. You're saying if this aspect is so important, then let's create a system where we're causing. I mean, let's become like monks. You know, I'm saying build a monastery on top of a mountain somewhere with a big bell, you know, take on a vow of silence, you know, and completely disconnect. And it's a great question. And the answer is, we've seen from this, that that's not what we expected to do. That's not what Hashem wants from us. The Jewish view is not like that. The Jewish view is you get involved, you do physical work, that's a mitzvah, and it's a great thing. Yeah, it's a mitzvah, it's a great thing. But that's not how life is meant to be. You're meant to be involved in the world, and as observant Jews, we get involved, and we work, and we hang out, we help people, we're involved, we get married, and we have kids, and we eat, and we enjoy. Right? That for us is spirituality. Yeah, that for us is spiritual. But it can't just be that. You still need a glimpse of Olam Haba, and a seventh evil life has to be in that state that you're describing. Right? Of disconnecting from the physical world. Most of our life in this world is not like that, and that's a good thing. Going to work and being involved, and all, that's a good and healthy and spiritual thing. Right? We're not saying they're bad. That's why I mention it. You see, if you look at this and think, okay, fine, so basically we're saying that meditation is a, you know, and we say, no. No, that is not the way. There's a balance. There's a life balance, and it's 1 in 7. Is the percentage that we're describing over here. That's a good question. That's a very fair question. And the short answer to that is because we achieve greatness through challenge. We achieve greatness through challenge. If you look in the Torah at the stories of our heroes and heroines, they're not sitting down doing nothing. Right? The famous story we're reading a couple of weeks of Avraham Avinu, running around, right? Guests are coming, he's capturing animals, he's killing them, he's making dinner. He's involved in chesed. Right? Chesed lo mibaneh. Chesed is what's involved. Chesed involves action. The Jewish view of a spiritual person is not someone sitting down meditating, wearing sandals, and an orange sheet. To us, it's someone running around, schwitzing, tits is flying, right? She's got, you know, she's running, trying to get this, and he's trying to do that, and everyone's, you know, that is the Jewish view of spirituality. Very different to the view of the other religions that we're surrounded with. For us, it's active involvement in the world. That's the goal. That's just like, whatever. You know, it's one of the things, what we're going to do. No, that's what's expected from us. That is expected of us. The view of Avraham Avinu is not someone sitting down cross-legged. It's interesting. It could have been. It's not even someone studying Torah. We are shown Avraham Avinu not sitting studying. He was very, very learned, but we're not introduced him that way. I mean, the Rambam describes he was a thinker, and he thought, and he wrote books, for sure. But the Torah shows him as and his wife, and his kid. He involves the family in physical action. There is no coincidence. And right through the Torah, it's that way too. Yeah? That's the short answer. The rest, you can buy my book. Okay. So he gives a very interesting thing over here. Let's have a look at this. There's a student of Rehuda ben Arosh, Rabbeinu Menachem, and he said in his book, Zeila Derech, he says, V'ken, look at the bottom. He says it's actually good for your body. Okay? He's going to bring a medical point down. We actually get your body is going to need this too, right? Your body needs to have one day of not physical and mental anxiety. It's good for you. That a person spends the seventh of their life in a state of rest. This will keep you strong and help your health, right? And your animals too, and your servants. People should get a time off. Right, slaves in Mitzrayim working 24/7. Right, it's counterproductive. Give people a rest. And the Torah itself says animals need a rest time too. They're not constantly working. Yeah, turn over the page. Vashenis, he says Shiyama Shabbatu Siba Lazares Hadam. This is going to be a catalyst to energize a person. But Malachto B'Shayim Hamaseh. Take it day off. You actually look forward to work. You should look forward to work. It's something you should feel. I mean, hopefully, right? But having a day off will actually get you look forward to work. Even the secular world understands this. People need a weekend off. Actually, this is disappearing, sadly, with all the technology we have. People are losing that. Work is now bleeding into the weekend. This is not a good thing, right? Shabbos apping on Shabbat is not a good thing. Not just the physical malacha aspect, but you need to rest your mind. Right? This, I believe, is the main reason why the Shabbos app, even if it's true, and even if it manages somehow to refrain from the halacha, that's not what it's all only all about. You need to get your mind to take a break. Shimla yidma adam ketz lamalaf. A person needs to see and enter their work, he says. The kutzpah, you're going to hate it. You're going to hate it. You'll end up despising your work. And Hashem doesn't want you to hate your work, because you've got to do it. So you live your life in a state of hatred. The yaseh polota, basavka avlev, and you'll do it that through laziness and through irritation and through a broken heart. That's what he says. Aval, kishadam mejim nochta krova, but when you know that the end is near, yifabuz rizviya kalatora halav, you know there's an end to the week, you know what I'm saying? What do we say on Monday? Shabbos is coming. What do we say on Tuesday? Shabbos is coming. Wednesday? Don't worry, there's a light in the tunnel. Okay, which in Manhattan ain't so great because it's the Lincoln Tunnel and it's New Jersey. But for the rest of us, the light at the end of the tunnel is actually Shabbat, which is very close. So he's saying this is also it. Shabbat actually increases your love for work during the rest of the week. Right? Don't think of it that way, but it's very true.
Saturday night, 6 more days to Shabbat.
Lafi Shikar, that's the reason why Saturday night's a big night actually, because people can't even handle the fact they left Shabbat. They're trying to fill in the void in their soul. We'll get to that. Right? It's actually a chazal. He says the power of imagination, right, and knowing that this break is coming, poel mod badam is gonna, it will really help you. It's a strategy to get you through the stressful week, right? Oh, Shabbos is coming. Oh, just knowing it's there. If you're constantly working, right, 7 days a week, you go completely crazy, right? It's a mental trick. You know that the Amelis is going to come to an end, at least for a small amount. Vukarov, and it's close. It's only, at the maximum, it's only a week away, right? Even the worst case scenario. Yim sabalibo menuchoy kol yimei shivua. Inside your heart, you will have rest your entire week. So now Shabbat, and the thought of Shabbat, is going to affect your weekday as well. In many ways, this is just one. Because all week, you're going to be saying, oh, Shabbos is coming. What are you doing when you think that? Ah, Shabbos already. You have the feeling of Shabbat during that stressful meeting, or that class, or that exam, or that midterm, whatever it is. Right? Your mind is in world of Shabbat, because Shabbat is coming.
Wait, since when is the week called Shabbat?
Oh, another word for the week is called Shabbat. Yeah. He didn't over here, actually. We didn't say that over here. Shabbat. The week is called. Oh, you're right. V'lachen, you read ahead. Shikara Shavuot Gamken Shabbat. The week is called Shabbat. You're absolutely right. I didn't know it was coming. Well done. Yes, the week is called Shabbat. We call the week Shabbat.
But like, isn't that taking that away from Shabbat?
So he's saying it's not. It's only increasing it. And he's saying that's. He's giving his reason as to why we call the week Shabbat. Because in my mind, Shabbat is coming. So you live in a world of Shabbat. We'll see more of this, by the way. Lafi has manakat suv bala menucha v'gula Shabbat adam. And that's the expression. Right? It's called, there's no day of week. This is very important. There's no Sunday in Judaism. Right? Sunday is not what do we call it? What's Sunday? Yom Rishon. There's no Monday or Moon Day, right? As they use that, that's where it comes from, right? Why? Yom Sheni. The numbers. What are these numbers going? To the count up. To the only day of the week that has a name. Shabbos. Yom Rishon L'Shabbat. Yom Sheni L'Shabbat. The days of the week are given numbers because they don't have an identity of their own. They only exist in relation to Shabbat. Oh, that's good. Snap. As they say. I like that. So there are no names of the week in Judaism. They're just given numbers. That's number one. That's number two. Right? Because it's building up to the only day that has a name, the Shabbat. So that means there's people walking around this world who live their entire lives in a world of Shabbat. What, physically? No. Now they're not eating cholent every day by lighting candles. It means their mind is in a world called Shabbat. Their entire week is, I think, Shabbat. And we mentioned that already, I think. We'll see it definitely later on. There's a mitzvah to buy food for Shabbat during the week. And say, this is the covered Shabbos. Right? You see a nice piece of meat? Oh, this steak? Ooh, delicious. That's covered. And then you find another one the next day, which is even better. Okay, this one is covered. The other one I'll eat today. Right? You see a nice piece of fruit. You see a nice Laffy Taffy. Whatever it is. Whatever floats your boat. Right? That's the Kovach Shabbos. That's a mitzvah. That is a mitzvah during the week, lichvot Shabbos Kodesh. You get it specifically during the week. Some people say it. You don't have to say it. You can have it in mind. But that's enough. Okay? Now Shabbat is now infiltrating, this is what we're trying to do, infiltrating the work week. Your mind is constantly on this world of menucha. It's not like oh, the end of the week's coming, the weekend's coming. No, no. This is the day I'm looking for. I'm counting up to this moment. This is what I'm all about. V'chen yimsa atzma achar menucha ki lo amal. It's going to be like you're not working at all. V'yitava l'malach tov yasena b'zrizot. And you'll end up doing your malacha with more zrizot, with more alacrity. Right? You'll do your job better. Oh, Shabbos is coming. Come on, let's get through this. Sweet saying. Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. And you'll be like this your entire life. You become a Shabbos person. Wow. How awesome would that be? Achim sa lechem chukka. This becomes your constant. And this is how you make your living. Amazing. Imagine like being in it. How you feel on Shabbos? Imagine your entire life like that. Oh, no more stresses, no more worries. Oh, Hannah Bender, how good does that sound? Wow. I'm all about that. I'm all about that. In addition, here's another third reason. Why do I stay away from Malacha? Because of holiness. And that which is holy cannot involve Malacha ultimately. V'amar alomer, shemikeven shashabatu yom shel kedusha, since Shabbat is Kadosh, follow inside halfway down page 46. Ukedusha hi davar she'eino gashmi, and holiness by definition isn't physical. I mean, we take the physical, make it holy, but ultimately it's not a physical thing. Lachen en lasot b'shamalacha, b'shamalacha davar gashmi. And he says, Hashabbat hu kodesh, as we know, it says in the Torah, kodesh lachem, the Sabbath is holy to you. Right, that's what the Torah says in Exodus chapter 30. Kol davashu kadosh, whatever is kodesh, nivdal min inyan neyachomri, he's going to have to ultimately be separated from physical. Kamoshu Shabbat nivdal min amalacha, says the Maral. Just like Shabbat is separated from the malacha. There's got to be separation. So the word kadosh actually literally means
separate.
Did we discuss that already? I've forgotten. The word kadosh literally means separate. Distinct, apart, right? Lashon Kodesh. It's called that because it is separate from the other days, from the other languages, right? It's different, not the same, okay? When you get married, it's called Kiddushin. Why is it called Kiddushin? Because now you're separate from every other man out there, and he's separate from every other woman out there.
Separate,
that's the literal translation. By the way, that's separate in a positive way, right? Technically, the word Kadosh can also mean separate in a bad way. Right? Because separate is still separate. A prostitute in Hebrew is a kadesha, because that person has separated themselves for licentiousness, right? For immorality. So the word literally means separate. We want to separate the holy way, right? Obviously. But the word itself, kadosh, actually means separate. That's the real linguistical interpretation of the word kadosh. Okay? So you see, Shabbat is Kadosh, means it's separate rest of the week. What's the rest of the week, Malacha?
I learned it.
You just woke up now? How do you do that? I'm so jealous. I couldn't even sleep as long if I tried. Wow. Oh, yeah, you're well rested.
You
could have slept till 2. I don't doubt it. Shekol Malacha, because all Malacha, Otzad LePoel, becomes actuality. And everything physical ultimately has to have a physical representation. That's malacha. V'fikacha malacha sur b'yom Shabbat shu kodesh. He says it's an anathema. An anathema to kedusha is physicality on Shabbat. Therefore, he's saying the reason we say rav malacha is the third reason we looked at today is because we become kodesh. We turn the day into kedusha. Okay. Yes.
So the first reason is because we get to a higher level.
Yes.
And then second is because it frees our mind.
Yes, and our bodies. And we need, and it helps us enjoy physical work more. And the third is, we need Kedusha, Kodesh. That's what we're looking at. Let's see one more. Let's see. Odachar, there's actually a couple more, but let's just see this final one, and then we'll jump to the next chapter. And it goes like this. There was someone in Jewish history, page 47, my darling. There was someone in Jewish history who totally refrained from malacha, where life was easy, seemingly. And that was Adam HaRishon and Chava in Gan Eden. Let's analyze those two people in Gan Eden and see what that's about. This is all Lifnei Achet, before the sin. So once again, what's our question? Why stay away from Malacha? And we're going to see, because you're going to travel to another place that existed before the sin. And this is Rav Chaim Freelander. He brings it so beautifully. And he says like this. He quotes Rav Chaim Vital. Kotev tam isol tam malachos b'shabbos. Why do we stay away from the lametes malachos on Shabbos? Ki b'shabbos on Shabbos, anachnu chozrim. We are returning. And by the way, the word Shabbos means a few things. Shvat also means shuv, to return, right? B'shabbos anachnu chozrim. So the word Shabbos itself, where you're returning to. Here's another interpretation. The word Shabbos literally means to rest. But encoded in it is also to return. Chozer, right? The Baal Teshuvah, right? Anach chozrim l'matzav hadomeh shel Adam Rishon, kodam acheit. You get back into Adam Rishon's state before the sin of the Eitz Hadas. You go to Gan Eden, because Adam Rishon and Chava Imenu were living in a world that was kulo Shabbos. She'ein lan lasot kol malacha. What do they do? They do malacha, they have to plant the trees. No, the trees were there. It was already. The fruit on the trees was all there. And by the way, do they have to refrain from much? No. It was fantastic. They had trees sprouting, breads and whatever they needed, clothing. It was all ready to go. Ready made. One thing they couldn't eat from. Okay. Shabbos too. Shabbos isn't about the don'ts, it's about the do's. Enjoying. Oh, I can't do this, can't do that. You got the wrong way around. That's how Adam and Chava ended up falling. Because they said, oh, but I want this. That all this entire garden to eat from, the first mitzvah given to them was, you can, people say the first commandment to Adam and Rishon was don't eat from that tree. It wasn't. The first commandment was you can eat from everything. Look in your Bibles. Right? We read it last week. Right? You can eat from all this, but this you can't eat. Same thing. You can enjoy it so much, the Shabbos thing. This you can't do, though. And then you have Jews who focus on the bit they can't do. That's a big mistake. Right? Right? So they were free from all this work and trouble. Stay away from Malacha. Become like Adam Rishon Lefnei Achet. You're in Gan Eden on Shabbos. Good name for a book. Right? Shabbos, the Garden of Eden. That's where you're going. So next semester, God willing, those are my class. Did anyone do Hilcha Shabbos on the yet in the school? Yeah. Talk about, what's a Borer? Remember Borer?
Sifting,
very good. What were we separating over there? The Mishkan, yeah, the Mishkan. What were we separating? The expression? Right, from the Pesolus, from the Ochel. We're taking the bad stuff away from the good stuff. So he's playing on that a little bit, right? Base. What are you doing all week? We're taking away the Hapsolus Mitocha Ochel, right? That's weekday activity. We're constantly taking away the stuff we don't want, trying to make a living, you know, trying to, you know, sift through life, make a living. That's weak. He's saying this is very interesting. That's halach of Shabbos. You can't separate that you don't want if it's mixed in. Shtei minim. That's so during the week you're separating Pesolus from Ochel, but Shabbos is forbidden. Right, I'm just getting to the place where I just want the Ochel. Oh, now you're seeing Hilcha Shabbos in a whole different light. Yes?
I'm just confused on the idea of Shabbat
Mitzvah. You mean the word itself?
Yeah.
The word Shuv means to return.
I know, but what does that have to do with
So we're saying, how do we say, what are we returning? Shabbos is Shuv. So we're saying, what are you returning to? So we said, so far you're returning to yourself, right? But now it's saying you're returning back to a place that existed by Adam HaRishon and Chava, right? Back in Gan Eden before the sin. You're going to go back. You're going back. Yes, that's a return. Yes. I think it is too. I think it is a good way to look at it. Right? Avabah Shabbos Kol Eskenu Rag B'Gedusha, he says. Very, very nice. One second. So the Al-Sheikh, I have this here in Hebrew, I didn't translate this piece. But he goes on to say that really, on Shabbos, your souls go under Hashem's wing in a very high place. Your soul changes. There's a difference in a neshama on Shabbos. Right? The neshama yatera, your seir will speak about, okay, what that is and how we relate to it. Right? But the soul of a Jew changes on Shabbos, what it should do. Right? Mash einken liyam zavato, the rest of the world does not go through this. And it goes to a very special place. He's speaking, I think, Kabbalistic thought. It goes to a place of great Kedusha under Hashem's wing. And your soul, right? The ish kishorish nafsho asher tachat kamfi ashchina. Your soul is protected under the wings of Hashem's presence. Okay, he's and he's saying Malacha is a weekday thing, and you that does not fit well into the reality. Okay, turn over the page. So, page 48 and 49 are very important, but we're not going to do them because we're going to do a whole chapter on Emun and Bitachon. Okay? So we're going to leave this for now. We're going to come back to this idea later on. This idea is repeated elsewhere, but I want to focus on it. I want to put it in its place. So, if you don't mind, just skip that. Let's do the last one, page 49. And we'll finish with this. We have 5 minutes. Yeah, bottom page 49. Okay. We'll be doing this later on. We're going to repeat the words over here. Okay, but I want to focus it. So there's another idea as well, that on Shabbos we stay away from Malacha. This is the fifth and final reason we're looking at on this topic. So we're able to Kabbal Ol Malchus Shamayim. We accept Hashem's presence upon ourselves. And Malacha does not allow that to happen. Okay. And it goes like this. If you remember, we connected Shabbos to Har Sinai, because Har Sinai happened on Shabbos. Okay? That was one of the three Shabbats. Remember we did that? Yes. You better do, because your midterm's coming up on Monday. Okay? Did I send it off yet? Oh, I think I did. Okay. So Rav Chaim Friedlander speaks about this, and he says, something happened on Har Sinai. If you remember, two words were said, which are mentioned in Parashat Mishpatim, okay? And the Jewish people were asked if they want to accept the Torah. Well, first the non-Jewish nations were, and they said, what's in it? Remember that? Makativ Bey. And they were told, and they rejected it. Okay, a whole lengthy Gemara over there, in the tractate of Shabbat, interestingly enough. That's where the discussion of Har Sinai even happens, okay? Very good question. No, he asked the nations whether they wanted the Torah. And they rejected it. I don't know when it happened. It probably happened before. They wanted the Torah. Right. We said Nasa Vinish when they were given the Torah. So I'm assuming it happened before somehow. I thought you were going to ask me, how do you ask an entire nation something? And that's an interesting question, probably in and of itself. That's an interesting question. If that literally means them or as leaders. There were people who wanted it, by the way. But since it goes with the majority rule, they weren't allowed. There's a whole discussion. They come back as reincarnation. They become converts. Right? Where do they come from? They were the souls that Adam, that Avram Avinu and Sarah Menu created. Okay, we'll leave that aside for now. That's an interesting thing, but that's not for now. However, the Jewish people said, Naseva Nishma, which means we're in. We'll find out what's in it later on, but we're in Nasa, we're into doing this thing. And Nishma, then we'll try to understand it later. Okay? This, by the way, the Gemara in Shabbos says, woo, fantastic. This is the highest level a person can reach. Right? I'm in. Right? I want to know, because we're knowing people, I have to understand, but I'm in. Zochu, says the Gemara, because of this statement, Nasa Venish, probably two of the probably famous words in the entire Torah. Kolacham Yisrael Kabal Shtei Atrot. It said each Jew were given two crowns. Nasa Venishma, they were given two Atarot, two crowns. Oh, what happens? That's the Gemara in Shabbos. Interesting, right? It's discussed in Tractate Shabbos. Kishachatu Ba'egel, now there was the sin of the golden calf, which happened after Har Sinai, remember? After we heard the sin of the golden calf, Chayta Egel, says the Gemara, Nilkachu Mehem, they were taken away, Ha'atrot, V'nitl Mishrabenu, Moshe got them. Okay, what does this mean? These weren't physical crowns. Right? These were not physical crowns. But whatever they were, these crowns were taken away from the Jewish people, and they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's just finish off 1 second.
This is before the
Week Tov. The sin of the golden calf.
Before.
This is right when they came down, Moshe Rabbeinu came and told the Jewish people, you're going to receive the Torah, we heard Hashem speak. They came down 4 days later, he saw the Chayta Egel, smashed them. The crowns, there was a movement of crowns. They were transferred. There was a transfer in ownership from the Jewish people to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hayachid, who's he? Hayachid, the individual, Shayaruilem, who was deserving of them. Right? He wasn't involved in the Chayta Egel. They were. Shinishar Adam, Hashalem Mushlam. He was the only one who remained a complete being. Misibazu, and by the way, it was because of this, they say, Keren Oparnav, that his face shone out with light. That after Har Sinai, no one could see his face. He had to wear a mask. The Torah itself tells us. Moshe Rabbeinu. The light of his face was so strong after this event, they couldn't look at him. That's what the Torah itself says. Good question.
So do we still have our crowns?
You still have your crown, dear.
When
these are not physical crowns.
Right.
The Talmud tells us that after that, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Nasav, the Jewish people said Nasav Nishma, they're rewarded with crowns. The spiritual, well, what's a crown? It's a symbol of merit or spirit of kingship, of royalty. You know, it's considered a very great thing. Right?
So what is?
So yes, it. No, they chose both. They chose Nasav Nishma and they chose Chayta Egel. So these crowns were taken away. This gift, whatever it was, we're not sure. Given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? So it tells us he had keren or beautiful light came from him. Right? People, by the Christians, mistranslated mean horns, which is why there's actually horns drawings of things. It's not. These are rays of light. Horns of light that came from Moshe Rabbeinu. To such a degree, the Torah itself tells us. Right? He wore a masva, he wore a mask. He couldn't look at his face. Right? There was such a light that came from him. Right? Or, this is the light. Right? Ha'ira ba'or ruchani, this is a spiritual light that came from him. Okay?
Not just being made obvious to me, like, you're not supposed to be punished immediately.
Here they were. Here they were. Those are lacking. Here they were. Mm-hmm. Page 50. Mahayu Katarmid. What were these crowns? He says, I'll tell you why I have two crowns. Echad keneged naseh, echad keneged nishma. These two crowns were given to them, one keneged. Nase, right? We will do v'nishma. Nase v'nishma zu. Ha, it's batlu gemura b'fnei rosh hashanah baruch hu. This was absolute nullification for God's will. Right? K'medregas ha'malachim, the level of angels. We reach an angelic level at that time. Right? Malach ein lo shum ratzon atzmi. An angel has no personal desires. An angel has no ratzon, right? No will of their own. They just do what Hashem says. That's what we reach. We said, I'm doing Hashem's will. We reach the level of angels. We reach the level of angels. We said, Nasa v'nishma. Kol kula mukhan zuman. Every single person was ready. Lasa rosa karash boch, do Hashem's will. Right? B'loy le'erev shum l'kura shalani. There was no mixing in of any eye. Right? Kacha omen Nasa v'nishma. That's what Nasa v'nishma means. We are told, we're like angelic, whatever Hashem says we do. Just like the angels, but we achieved it. The angels are given it. We achieved it. Kevan she'en ha'ani kayem. The ani was not there. I'll say, kol mashgar b'chabu, and besides, we do whatever Hashem says. Af imenenu mevin, if we don't understand. It's a very high level. Doing Hashem, I don't understand what Hashem, I don't know why Hashem, I accept your will, that's angelic, that's Nasav Nishma, for that you get a crown. That's complete nullification of self for Hashem. However, be'giyom Shabbos, but when Shabbos comes, machzim Rabbeinu etarot lam Yisrael, Hashem returns the crowns to the Jewish people. Ki b'Shabbat efshar, because on Shabbos you are able, by refraining from malacha, you're able, right? You're giving up your own personal ani. Ani is, I want to do, I need the money, I need to do this. And Shabbos is all about, it's not about me. It's what Hashem wants. Right? Shabbos Hashem li Hashem. Got it? Ki b'Shabbos efshar lachzor l'ma'ayin matzav shal nesav nishma. You can go back, not just back to Gan Eden, you go back to Mahar Sinai, before the Chayta Eagle. The Nasav Nishma shall kabbalat ol malchus shemaim shleima. Ha'etkar shalanu biyom Shabbos lemitzvat etav shirut atmona bo. So what's the challenge of Shabbos? To find the ability to reach that thing that is hidden in the day, le'agir le'day ha'malchus Hakadosh Baruch Hu, of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's majesty, royalty. Through nullification, I nullify my will for Hashem's will. B'Shabbos anu makirim ma'idim, on Shabbos we recognize and testify al HaKadosh Baruch Hu shu baruch ol olam, that Hashem creates the world. That's our nasev nishma moment. Shemayim v'aretz, heavens and earth, asev asa kol, Hashem created and is everything, and my will is nullified before Hashem. Okay, so you don't do malacha, because malacha is my will. I need to do this, I need to write, I need to do. On Shabbos, you nullify yourself. How do you nullify yourself today? Nasa v'nishma, that's hitbatlut mi'amalacha. Nullification of malacha. And he says, that's what Shabbos is all about. We don't do malacha, lekabel ol malchus shemayim, to receive Hashem's yoke upon us. Yismuchu malchatach shem Shabbos. That's what we say. A person will rejoice in the service of shem Shabbos. Because your service on Shabbos, what's your malacha? Your malacha of serving Hashem. By stopping malacha, you accept upon yourself the malchus of Hashem. And that is the Jewish people at Har Sinai of Nasa v'Nishma. So your crowns are returned. And he goes forward, I don't have to do it, but you get the idea. Read it yourselves, that through this, Hashem sits on his crown of glory, just on this day. And he's saying, Hashem's always there, but on Shabbos, we recognize it. Okay? He says, we know David HaMelech says, Sumerav aseh tov, leave bad and do good. He says, Sumera is weekday, aseh tov is Shabbos. Okay? And he says, for this reason, let's just finish off the bold print, page 51. That's why Shabbos is the perfect time for an increase in spirituality. You cannot reach this level during the week. The certain amount of spiritual achievement can only be achieved on Shabbos for this reason. Yes, Gabby?
Going back to the sentence where it said, on Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu returned these two crowns to the Jewish people.
After the Chayta Eagle.
Does that connect to the two souls?
What two souls?
That you get on Shabbos.
It is connected to the soul you'll be receiving. Extra soul, not two souls. Right. Extra soul, yes. Yes, that is connected to that. When we get there, we'll discuss that over there. Okay.